Bianca?
Yes, Ricky?
You know how it's my birthday?
Yes!
And you said you'd do that special thing for me tonight?
Yes!
Well,
come on, Ricky! Spit it out!
Could you take your teeth out?
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers.
Right, hello listeners. Welcome to podcast number 18. I'm here with Napoleon. Say hello, Napoleon.
Hello, hello there.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm terribly concerned about climate change.
Are you?
Well, as much as a man with no children can be. I'm not obviously as concerned as a family man would be, but yeah, I'd say I'm reasonably concerned. What about yourself?
I'm not that concerned about it. It's a lovely day out there, so surely that points to the fact that we're going to be okay.
Well, I read that we're going to get rainier. It's not going to be like Italy or anything like that, is it? It's just going to be rain here. Or is it? No. Or is it?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be like Club Tropicana.
Is it? Mm. Well, like the George Michael song where all the drinks are free.
Exactly like that one.
Well, that sounds lovely. Oh, well, bring it on. I'm not concerned anymore. Hello!
Hello there. Anything you'd like to talk about in this preamble? We've still got a few minutes left.
Apparently you wanted to talk about something you mentioned to me. I haven't got anything to talk about. My mind's a blank.
Fair dues. Well, we have been talking in these podcasts, in the preambles, about the feedback we've been getting.
Right.
We got one the other day. I can't remember who it was from, but it was a weird one because it started off, this is a good podcast, but it requires Napoleon, as Pete and Swineshead are just straight men. And then it said 2 out of 5.
Right. So, that doesn't really make any sense, does it?
Well, he said it's a good podcast and he gives it two out of five.
Yeah, but if he says it's good and then he gives us 2 out of 5, to me that means that's shit. I didn't like that. Yeah. Maybe you press the wrong button.
I think he must just be insane.
Yeah, so essentially what you've got there is a lunatic said, oh, I like this, but in fact I don't like 2/3 of it. And to reflect that that fact, I'll give it 2 stars.
Well, yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's a nutcase.
But, you know, that's registered and now we've gone down a tiny fraction on the old...
On the old, what's the old,
you know, the old.
The old, I don't know, well, what's the old.
Right, you know, the five.
What?
The 5-star rating, we've gone down on that.
Oh, right, I didn't know we were at 5 stars.
Well, we weren't, we were on 4. But then a slow boost after Greg Hard brought us back up to the 4.5 mark.
What, now we're at 3?
No, I think we're back at 4. I can't really keep tabs on it.
I was thinking if we were at 3, we could work very hard and get down to 1.
Should we do that?
We can do.
Mission on.
I mean, I'm perfectly prepared to be as bad as, well, always. Well, worse, actually, thinking about it. I mean, if we both endeavour to be absolutely bloody awful, then hopefully we'll get a 1-star rating.
Well, yeah, I mean, who cares what the iTunes tittle-tattlers say about us?
I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in somebody going, oh, I think your thing's very good. 1 star! I mean, for a start, that makes no sense, you know, but I mean, if they want to do that, enjoy yourself, because I would retaliate if it wasn't for the fact, every time I try and bloody register with that boop-boop thing, that I'm not allowed to say, apparently,
no,
it has to be for
me
credit card details.
You're allowed to say it. I thought it was just an accepted way of referring to something, you know.
What?
Yeah.
Makes you sound like a bird.
I look like a bird as well, by all accounts.
You do look like a bird. You look like a toucan eating a banana. Or no, hang on. No, a hamster eating a banana with a toucan's beak.
Well, you look like a festering pile of turds.
Well, no, hang on a minute. Actually, you wouldn't see the banana, would you? If you've got a hamster with a beak... A banana's the same shape as a beak, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you'd actually have is a hamster with a toucan's beak, and inside the beak would be a banana. But you wouldn't see the banana, would you?
No, it'd be stuck inside the beak.
On a different subject,
yes.
Who do you reckon would win in a fight between Mad Max and Pepsi Max?
I think they're allies, aren't they?
Alloys?
No, not alloys, allies.
Oh, allies. Oh, I didn't realise that. Carry on.
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chatters. It's watch with mothers. It's watch with mothers.
Right, so this week we're going to be talking about British soap operas, which we probably should have said.
Emmerdale Farm, da-da-da-da, Emmerdale Farm.
Coronation Street.
We did that once, do you remember?
Yep.
We did a recording of Coronation Street. I think it's available somewhere on the internet, off of the internet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's available on the YouTubes, I think, yeah.
On the YouTubes?
Unless it's been pulled down for copyright infringement, but I doubt it.
I should imagine so. My sexy Watership Down has had its music removed.
Really?
Because it was an infringing on WMG. Is that Warner Music Group?
Was it Bright Eyes, was it?
No, apparently I hadn't had permission to use either the Russian National Anthem, which I had no idea Warner Brothers owned. I thought that was owned by, well, Russia. And I Want to Sex You Up by Colour Me Bad.
Right. So they've pulled that, have they?
Yeah, I'm not allowed that, apparently. You know, I don't know why.
Well, I'm sure Coronation Street's still available because ITV, I don't know, they wouldn't have a problem with us, would they?
They don't mind blatant copyright infringement.
No, well, we're not copyright infringing, are we?
Well, we are. I mean, we've got their... just to explain to people who've never seen this, we've got their programme on there with me and you going, Coronation Street, da-da-da, over the top of it.
I'd say it was a celebration. They'd probably... what's the word when you... you say something's fine by you. Condone?
Is it ladder?
Yeah, they'd probably ladder it completely.
Yeah, they don't mind laddering it, don't they? Right, well, anyway, we've established what we're doing.
Yeah.
Talking about soap operas. And I think we better come clean that we were meant to both watch, weren't we? We were supposed to be watching Coronation Street and Emmerdale Farm.
Yeah.
And we didn't watch either of them.
Yeah, what happened? Tell us what happened.
Right, well, in my case, I went on the ITV player on the internet to watch it this morning, and all I got was a blank screen, but with the audio over the top of it. So I suppose I could have carried on sort of listening to it as if it was a radio show, but I didn't want to.
You could maybe have drawn pictures.
I could have drawn pictures, what, rapidly, like Pictionary?
A bit like Pictionary, yeah. I mean, you told me that had happened to the ITV player, so I thought, oh, right, that's all right, I don't have to watch it then.
Right. So you didn't even test it out at your end?
Well, I took your telling me that as the test.
Right, okay then, because I mean, it could have just been my end. You're on a different machine, you're in a different part of the world. It could have worked for you. We could have had up-to-date Coronation Street and Emmerdale Farm news.
Yeah, but then it would just be me relaying what happened on Coronation Street back to you. That wouldn't be great radio, would it?
Right, so instead of that, what we've got for you today, listeners, I bet you can't wait for this, is our vague recollections of seeing Coronation Street and Emmerdale Farm in about 1988.
Mm. No,
bring on the gold!
It's a bit later for me. I'd say it's probably 97 to 2000.
Really?
Yeah, well, I was a student then, wasn't I? So I was just laid up on the couch all the time.
Ah, right. You see, when I was a student, I was just incapable with drink in a pub called the Old Flyer in Farnham.
Well, yeah, but during the day as well?
Yeah, pretty much all day, all night. I didn't do anything when I was at university. I just got drunk.
Well, I think that's what it's there for, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I live like a prince. I had a job, you see. So all the extra money they gave you, the grant and all that, I just pissed it up the wall.
I had the same thing. I had a job in a 24-hour garage where I worked the graveyard slift.
The slift?
Yeah.
I've worked the graveyard slift before. Not obviously in a garage. I've never worked in a garage. I worked shoveling dog shit once.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good job. You'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go to a dog kennel, shift a load of shit, clean out a load of cat shit, and then you mashed up tripe with cereal, which stank, and fed them to a load of dogs. That was my job.
Hang on.
Shit shoveler.
Slifting dog shit during the day is not a graveyard slift.
Well, no, it's not, is it? A graveyard slift is when you do it after, after 11 o'clock at night?
Do you know, I can't remember when I started it. I think it was 10 o'clock till around 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right, so how on earth did you actually have any kind of daytime life? Or did you just not sleep for 3 years?
Well, this was only for the second and half of my third year. But the
most important bit.
Yeah. Well, it was only 4 days a week as well. So I'd get home, watch the big breakfast with a tin of Spar lager.
Have a wank.
Doubtless. And then
over Denise Van Outen.
Well, also it had quite a few top shelf publications there, so they came as extras, obviously.
Oh God, I'd have been in the toilets 24 hours a day.
Free fags as well, and the
free fags.
The manager, a really nice chap called. He allowed you to drink behind the counter. So
that's good.
By and by, it was the best job I've ever had.
It sounds very. I mean, it sounds almost as good as my job, which I used to work in an amusement arcade. And my function was to sit in a chair and press one of two buttons.
Mm.
That's what I did for a living. So I either they'd give me a £20 note, in which case I'd press a £20 note button, or they'd give me a tenner and I'd press the tenner button.
So you were the grumpy old sod on the change machine. I remember those crones.
Yeah, I was that bastard behind the dirty Perspex screen. Pressing buttons to hand out change.
Yeah, it did all the work for you, didn't it? That old clockwork machine.
Effectively. Well, no, I was a manual version of the machines. You had the change machines that you could feed money into.
Yeah.
But some people like the personal touch. So for that, they'd come to me and they'd grunt, and a sort of hideous stench had come through the booth. And I'd be, Jesus, there's a rat died in here, like that. They'd hand over their tenner covered in mucus, and you'd press your £10 button, they'd get £10 coins and go back to their pit, where they'd spent all day gambling.
Right, was it one of those arcades where there's not even games?
No, it was divided into two sections. You had the section that I was in, which was the over-18 fruit machine section, full of terminal gambling addicts, and then you had the rest of the arcade full of games.
Jesus, it sounds like a nightmare.
It was brilliant. Best job I've ever had.
What was so good about it?
I didn't do anything, did I? I mean, could you imagine your entire day, you sat on a chair, yeah, staring into space, or alternatively the Daytona USA machine, depending on where you were looking, and pressing one of two buttons. What's not to like about a job like that?
Well, admittedly, it's not much of a strain, but you've not got any stimulus. Did you have a radio?
No, I had nothing. I had the noise of the machines. I had the House of the Dead 3 machine behind me. That kicked up a bit of a stink. And there was Tekken 2. You could hear that making a lot of noise. Well, obviously, there was the bloody kids who were in and out all the time, causing a ruckus. And the noise of the gamblers.
House of the Dead 3 is actually, that's a really good game.
It's a fucking classic, mate. Anyway, we're not really meant to be talking about this. This is anecdotal. We don't do anecdotal on here, do we?
We do rambling, I suppose it falls under that category, but yeah Coronation Street, what do you remember?
We need to be moving on to TV here.
Corey, what do you remember?
Right, well, Coronation Street, I'll ask you a couple of quick fire questions.
Go on.
Is Brian Tilsley still in it?
Who's he then?
Curly Hair.
Right.
He got stabbed outside, stabbed and killed outside. No, he's not in it then, is he?
Oh, hang on, did he have a vaguely attractive wife?
No, he was married to Gail,
who
looked like a frog.
Gail, who's got the same face as the front of a VW Beetle.
Yeah, essentially. Or Kermit the Frog.
Or Touché Turtle.
With long hair. Or Touché Turtle. Essentially anything amphibian-like, tortoise, anything that looks like a frog, a tortoise, that's not an amphibian. Is a tortoise an amphibian?
No, it's a reptile, I think.
Yeah, but I bet it could float.
Probably could if you tipped it over the wrong way up.
He wouldn't be happy about it, though, would he? But then what's it going to do? Even protesting, your average tortoise, you're not even going to notice.
No, I've heard one reprimanding someone before, and it was pretty quiet.
Well, turtles are the same as tortoises, aren't they? I mean, they swim in the sea.
They're an aquatic... Yeah, they're not reptiles, then, are they?
Well, they are reptiles. No, hang on. Are they amphibians? I mean, they're on the sea. They go on the land. They lay some eggs. Does that make it an amphibian?
I don't know. It depends on which part of outer Manchester they live in.
Right. Well, this is apparently Salford.
See, what I'm trying to do there is steer you back to Coronation
Street. You've segued.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Which is quite good. So anyway, so he's not in it, obviously. In fact, I know where he is now, thinking about it. He runs, Brian Tilsley, for all fans of 1980s Coronation Street, he now runs the dirty box shops, the private shops that you see all around Britain.
Really? That's quite a... well, it's a high-grade brand for that industry.
It is, really, because they're all owned by Richard Desmond, though he keeps it under, you know, Dirty Desmond, the fella that owns the Daily Express, along with Asian Babes.
Yeah, I remember that blew up, didn't it, in the 90s?
Yeah, well, he also owns that string of shops.
He must
the private
be rolling
shops.
In porn money.
He is, yeah. I mean, he is. I think he's the crown prince of British pornography. He makes a fortune. What?
You got to respect a man like that.
Oh, fair dues. And the point being is Brian Tilsley, whoever he is, can't remember his real name, is his right-hand man.
Right, there we go. He's kind of the snuffleupagus to the main man's big bird.
Hang on a minute. I can't pronounce that bloody word.
So that's Coronation Street covered, I think.
Right, so that's Brian Tilsley. So what, is that the whole of Coronation Street covered because I mentioned one character?
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Right, so that's Coronation Street covered. If we can move on now on the schedule to Emmerdale.
What are you having for your tea?
For my tea, it's undecided as yet. I reckon for chips.
Right, I can't beat chips. Lovely, I like chips, but we're having steak here.
Right.
Lovely, lovely steak. Bit of sirloin.
Well, I'm a bit jealous, but you've interrupted me there. Shall we go again?
So what are we doing? Emmerdale Farm,
so you didn't watch that either?
No, I didn't watch that, but I did watch it in about 1994.
Yeah, I think I watched it 3 years after that, in 97.
Right, so I mean, we can correlate both years and come up with, what, 94, 97, so we need to be talking about, well, about halfway through 1995.
Well, I also watched it to 2000 as well, so we've got quite a lot of years under our belt.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a fair bit of Emmerdale in there. You know what I mean? I mean, I go back a long way with it. I remember when it was called Emmerdale Farm. I remember it was all about the Sugdons.
Yeah.
There was Jack Sugden.
Oh, is he the really tall one with the kindly face?
For the purposes of this, let's say yes, he was.
The farmer.
Well, they're all farmers.
Not all of them. Eric Pollard is a antiques distributor.
Eric who?
Pollard.
Who's Eric Pollard?
He's a small wizard-like man with a moustache and a white hair piece.
There's a wizard at Emmerdale Farm?
He looks like a wizard. He might not be a wizard.
Right, hang on, let me just write this down. Hang on. Wizard. Right, okay. Well, they've changed it since I used to watch it. I mean, it used to be Amos at the pub with Mr. Wilkes.
Oh, he's dead.
Now, it sounds like it's turned into Harry Potter.
Well, Amos is dead.
Amos is dead?
He's the one with the handlebar tash, am I right?
Yeah, but great big... No, he had great big sideburns. He didn't have a tash. Well, Mr. Wilkes had a tash.
Who was the one who had the little deerstalker hat?
That was Seth.
Seth, he's dead.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah, afraid so.
Oh, bloody hell. What about her that used to run the farm?
What, Mrs. Sugden?
Mrs. Sugden, yeah.
Yeah, she's still about.
Molly Sugden?
She's dead.
Molly Sugden's dead?
Yeah.
So what about Fraser Hines Beans?
Who's Fraser Hines?
Fraser Hines Beans.
Name rings a bell.
He used to be in Panto in Lincoln every single year without fail. You could guarantee the big name star every year in Lincoln was Fraser Hines, yeah?
Right.
And then he was usurped by a fella called Nasty Nick off of Big Brother.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the proper Nasty Nick off EastEnders.
No, no, not John John Thingamy Bob. No.
Bontempi, John Bontempi.
John Bontempi. No, he won't usurped by him. But can you imagine, yeah, you Fraser Hines Beans, and you've been in one of, well, it's not one of the biggest soaps, especially not back in the day when it was Emmerdale Farm. But you were in Emmerdale Farm anyway, and you were quite a big character in Emmerdale Farm. That lands you the lucrative position of being the number one panto guy in Lincoln. Yeah, and that's not to be sniffed at, is it?
Well, no, but I still don't know who Fraser Hines is.
Right, well, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, you've got that position, and then who comes along? Some bloke off of Big Brother who is considered more important than you, and you lose your number one spot. How shit would that make you feel?
It would be galling.
It would be galling, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't... I'm trying to think of a minor celebrity that you lose your job to that would be worse than that.
Colleen Nolan.
Well, not Colleen Nolan. I mean, she's a member of a big rock supergroup.
They're a supergroup, are they?
They are a supergroup. They're playing arenas, for God's sake. You think Nasty Nick can play arenas?
Firstly, a supergroup is a group made up of members of other bands coming together, like the Travelling Wilburys. And the Nolan Sisters, as far as I know, isn't made up of a diverse range of other band members.
So that means that Mulligan and O'Hare got it wrong.
Did they?
Yeah, because they did that song. Do you remember the song The Day the Donkey Derby Came to Town?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in that there is the line, then the supergroup The Who came down from the moon. That, yeah? Well, if you're saying that that's not a supergroup, why have they called it? I thought ABBA was a supergroup.
All right, fair dues. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, I thought the whole point of a supergroup is it gets to a certain size and superness, and all of a sudden it's a supergroup. I know what you mean. I mean, you had Emerson, Lake and Palmer. They were a supergroup, weren't they?
I believe so, yeah.
Crosby, Stills and Nash and Colin Taylor. You had ABBA and The Who. Those are the four main supergroups.
The Who isn't a supergroup.
Yeah, The Who's... Oh, no, not The Who. Yeah, so you had the Nolans... You had ABBA.
Yeah.
You had Emerson, Lake and Palmer. And you had the other ones.
Yeah, all supergroups.
They're the four main supergroups as laid down by science.
Yeah, I think we've defined that pretty well. But who was your favourite Emmerdale character?
My favourite Emmerdale character of all time would have been the fat one.
Yeah, she was hilarious.
Yeah, he was fucking hilarious. I can't remember who he was, what his name was, what he did, how long he was in it for, what year he started, what year he finished, or died. Usually died, didn't it, with soaps.
Was he quite posh?
He was rotund.
Posh?
Yeah, he was quite fat, yeah.
I think his name was Alan.
That's him, Alan Bradley. Got run over by a tram. He was married to Rita Fairclough. Got run over by a tram in Blackpool. Nope, that's Coronation Street.
I'm going to have to edit out my chuckles, I think. But I think my favourite character was the wizard Eric Pollard. Have I mentioned him already?
Yeah, this is what I mean. I've not seen Emmerdale in quite a long time, and apparently it's turned into bloody Harry Potter.
In that case, if I've already mentioned him, I think my favourite is Viv Windsor. You know her?
Viv Windsor? Who's Viv Windsor?
She's the gossiping owner of the general store and newsagent.
Nah, you see, when I was watching Emmerdale Farm, there was none of these people in there. It was five people in a farm.
Right, well, it's clearly gone downhill.
Well, it wasn't really uphill at the time.
Hello there, you're listening to the smooth and groovy signs of Watch With Mothers, here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep, or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
Right, so I think we've covered ITV's crappy attempts at soap operas.
Yeah, that's all the soaps. I mean, we could just mention quickly before we move on to the daddy.
Yeah.
The also-rans, Brookside, Eldorado, Albion Market, Crossroads, the other ones, Fathers and Lovers and Sons, whatever. Well, you know, that lot.
Sons and Daughters?
Sons and Daughters, The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't called that. Is it Fast and the Loose? The Loose and the Fat?
The Pride and the Prejudice.
The Bold and the Beautiful. There you go. Not the Fast and the Furious. That's a Vin Diesel film.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I thought was appropriate, considering it was about cars and his last name's Diesel. Anyway, I'm not getting into that. The only thing I liked about that lot was Brookside. And I don't know if that was mainly to do with lesbianism.
I didn't like any of that. I did watch a lot of El Dorado because there was a Foxy Senorita in that.
El Dorado had one of the greatest soap villains ever. Unfortunately, he was in one of the shittiest soaps ever. Was Marcus Tandy, do you remember him?
Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
Marcus.
And he's like, I'm too busy being evil, thanks.
Yeah, what's he doing with himself these days, that actor? Because he was in a film with Emily Lloyd, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. I mean, he's like a poor man Steven Seagal, in that he looked a bit like Steven Seagal.
He is. He's quite a slick character.
Yeah, he was. He didn't snap Emily Lloyd's neck, did he? What happened to Emily Lloyd for a... You know, she was the next big thing at one stage, wasn't she?
She was in When Saturday Comes with Sean Bean and then faded from view.
Right. I blame Chicago Joe and the Showgirl.
I blame him as well. And her.
Yeah, and her. But anyway, yeah, so that's that lot. We've now covered the two main ITV ones, plus all the also-rans, Brookside, Albion Market. You remember Albion Market?
Just on Emily Lloyd, you know who Dad is, don't you?
Yeah, it's Harold Lloyd.
It's Trigger out of Only Fools.
Is it?
Apparently so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not very interesting. Should we move on to EastEnders?
Albion Market, I don't recall that.
Yeah, Albion Market came out about the same time as EastEnders, and it was a market in Salford that was a bit like EastEnders was. It lasted for about a year. It had the Prime Minister's wife's husband in it, Tony Booth.
Tony Booth from the Confessions series.
Yeah, the alcoholic.
Yeah, good man.
Mm. He's not really a good man because he gave birth to Tony Booth, no, Sherry Booth, which I think was a mistake. And he was in Albion Market.
Yeah, but he was in the Confession series of films.
Well, all right, he was in that. And obviously he was in Till Death Us Do Part.
Yep.
Where he was actually, yeah, he was all right. Yeah, fair enough. I'll give you that.
Shall we move on to EastEnders?
Yep, right, yeah, the big one, the daddy, the Dom, as you say.
So we're going to start off with what we're calling a completely definitive EastEnders of EastEnders.
You didn't really do that very well, did you?
Shall I just say we're doing a complete history of EastEnders?
Well, I quite like the contemporarily indefinitive... No, I can't do it either.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
The definitive EastEnders of hysterectomies.
No, you can't say that. That's revolting.
Colonoscopy?
The completely definitive EastEnders of EastEnders, followed by the contemporaneous EastEnders.
Right, I've gone down a medical cul-de-sac.
You're at a dead end in some...
I'm thinking of colonoscopies.
Well, all right, let's talk about the history of Easties.
Right, okay, EastEnders started in the 1980s. I'm sorry, I haven't done my research. When did it start?
I think it was, the early 80s, 81?
Right, no, it was later than that. I think you're probably talking about 1984, maybe 82. And maybe 83.
There was a dead old man in the first scene.
There was a dead old man. What happened was, they came bursting in, and there was Arthur there, wasn't there? Arthur came bursting in. Was it with Nick Cotton?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. No, I think it was Pete Potato.
Was it Pete Potato? So there's Arthur, Pete Potato, and probably Big Ron.
Yeah, he was probably
Yeah,
about.
They came bursting in, and it was the chap's name who was dead was Reg somebody or other, wasn't it? And that's how it started. Shit, Reg is dead. Anyone can fall in love. And that's how EastEnders started. So when we said it was the definitive history of EastEnders, we weren't lying.
No, we've gone right back to the source.
Right, so, and back in those early days, we had, the main characters were the Fowlers, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
That was Pauline. Pauline.
Michelle.
Arthur.
Michelle, Mabel.
Michelle. So there's Arthur, and Martin hadn't been born yet, had he?
No, he still wasn't born, but Vicky came later as well, didn't she?
Yeah, there wasn't any Vicky, because Den did her, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Den did Michelle up the shitter, but that, you don't get a baby that way.
No, Den, but Lofty was on the scene.
Yeah, Lofty, I was going to call him Curly, actually.
Well, they're the same character, really, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the same character. Curly Watts in Coronation Street is Lofty from EastEnders.
But Lofty can now be seen late night on cable channel Arsenal TV talking about the Gunners.
That's right, because he's obsessed with Arsenal, isn't he?
He is. He seems a decent chap to me, but then that's probably because we share the same curse.
The same passion.
The same passion, that's what I mean, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's not really a curse, is it? I mean, I think it only gets worrying with football when you find yourself standing over the dead, beaten body of a Turkish football fan with blood all over your hands, thinking, shit, I've taken this too seriously.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably the case.
Yeah, I should have remembered it was only a game. Bollocks. As you hear the sirens coming in the distance.
I doubt that's happened to Lofty, though, but you never know. He's a dark horse.
Well, he is a bit of a dark horse, but I mean, in the show, he was a wet blanket, wasn't he?
He was a wet blanket, not a dark horse. So we had him.
So you had him. You had Pete Beale.
Pete Potato. Yeah, he was the brother of Pauline Fowler.
That's right. He was Pauline Fowler's brother. He was married to Kathy, she would have been Kathy Beale at the time.
Gillian Tailforth.
Who is, of course, Ian Beale's mother.
She's the lay-by blowjob woman, isn't she?
She's the lay-by blowjob woman, yeah, exactly. She got a blowjob off of Grant Bovey. No. Anatomically, now, for the younger listeners, anatomically that makes no sense, and Grant Bovey is Anthea Turner's wife. Husband.
Right, so Grant Bovey was Ian Beale's brother.
Right, so you've got Grant Bovey and Ian Beale. And Sharon was in it, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was Den's adopted daughter.
So, and you've just brought up Den. So there was Den and Ange, and they ran the Queen Vic, didn't they, with Rowley, the dog.
Yeah.
Often Den to be, and Angie.
Often to be found in the Queen Vic was Ethel and her tiny Willie.
So Ethel and a wee little Willie. I've written Etchel.
No, well, we're going to have to start again.
Hang on a minute. No, hold on. Let me just say it. Right, there was Ethel and her little Willie, and Dot Cotton and her horrible husband, Charlie.
Yep, who begat her little nasty Nick.
But here is the first of your EastEnders fact files. Dot was not in EastEnders at the start.
Right.
No, she turned up, I think, about a year later.
Well, they were saying when Wendy Richards died that she was the only original cast member, so that adds up.
Well, they're wrong, because Ian Beale was in it from the start as well.
Are you sure about that?
Yep, Ian's been in it. Now, Ian is the only character left. Now that Pauline's dead, both, sadly, in real life and in the show, now Ian is the only character left in EastEnders who's been there from the very, very beginning.
What do you reckon Adam Woodyatt's chances are if they ever axe his character, which I doubt they will? What do you reckon his chances are out there in the real world?
None whatsoever, because to the entire nation, he is Ian Beale.
He's been institutionalised.
When I first started watching EastEnders, I mean, he was about 13. And he's now a grown man, I think approaching his 50s or something. I don't know. He will be, won't he?
Can I just say that again?
What?
He's been institutionalised. No, it didn't work a second time either.
No, actually, no. Let's spin back. Let's not abandon that. That could be comedy.
Right. Oh,
I see what you mean. He has been institutionalised.
Shall I try it again?
Because, yeah, go on, give it another go.
Well, give me a little feed up first.
Okay. So, what do you think Ian Beale's chances of making it in the real world are?
No, I said that bit, didn't I?
Right, so do you want to ask me?
Yeah, I'll say that bit.
Okay, right, I'm ready.
So what do you reckon Adam Woodyatt's chances are in the real world, should they ever axe his character?
Not much, he's been institutionalised.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes? Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will.
Right, listeners, a bit of a accident there. We lost our recording of Contemporaneous EastEnders. We were going to talk about what's currently going down in Walford Town, but not only did the recording fail, it also turned out to be really, really dull.
It was bland, wasn't it? It was really bland.
It was like listening to two old women talking about EastEnders.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have watched... Do you remember Dame Irene Handel?
Sorry, what was that?
Dame Irene Handel. Do you remember her? Off of Metal Mickey.
Oh, it's a woman, is it? Dame Irene Handel.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'd rather have watched her having a poo. So instead of that, we've decided we've come up with a new idea, haven't we? It's still on the theme of contemporary EastEnders, but we've decided what would it be like if the Beatles turned up in EastEnders?
My first thought is Ringo would go down a treat.
They'd love Ringo, because well, what would he do?
He'd probably just run... he'd probably become an apprentice to Winston, the CD salesman.
Right, fair enough. So, instantly, Ringo would just disappear into the background of EastEnders. He wouldn't really play a prominent part, would he?
He'd slot in and he'd occasionally get the odd line, but I don't feel that he'd be a regular character there.
No, I think you're right. I think he'd be a new kind of Tracy sort of character, where every now and again, about every 6 months, you'd have Billy go, "Isn't that right, Ringo?" And he'd go, "Yes." And that'd be it.
That you got the wrong accent there, I think.
Yeah, well, sorry, let me try again. Hold on. This is my Ringo impression. "Hello there, fans. My name's Ringo. Peace and love. Peace and..." I can't do a live... I can't... Wait a minute. You try in.
What do you want me to say?
Tell your fans that they can get fucked if they want anything signed by you, Ringo Starr. Peace and love. Peace and love.
If you want anything signing, you can go and get fucked. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Actually, that's much better than me, because I don't know where my accent was from. Let me have a go. Let me have a go on John Lennon. Hang on a minute. I'm not really happy. No. No.
That was good. That was good. Yeah, try again.
All right. What should I say?
Say... "In the middle of a dream, I called your name, O Yoko."
"In the middle of a dream, I called your name, O Yoko." No, I'm not very good at Liverpool. I can try Manchester. I could do the Manchester Beatles.
I would give that John Lennon 7 out of 10. I thought it was quite good.
Was it? Well, it's only because I did that. I mean, essentially, John Lennon talked like that, like he had a slight nasal disease.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Again.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I translated it from... well, I don't know what this is. I don't know where they speak like this. So
that's
if I,
Lancashire.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to steal some cars.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, what about... Can you do Paul?
Well, you know, the thing about Paul is if you move your head in the right way, it's kind of a lot easier. Did that sound like Paul?
It sounded a bit like Paul, yeah. Shall I give George a go?
Yeah, give George a go, yeah.
Well, I'm not really happy about that. Was that any better?
Yeah, I just forgot he was from Wolverhampton.
Yeah, well, now you see, if the Beatles had been from Birmingham, I could have done that. In fact, what we should have done was ELO.
Yeah, but are they from Birmingham? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that area, I mean, there was a period in the 1970s when just about everybody came from Birmingham, Wolverhampton, Solihull, that area, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, just getting back on topic, I reckon Paul McCartney might become a major player in the square. He might even come to the attention of, you know, your Arches, your Phil Mitchells, and he might wind them up a little bit.
The one-legged ladies, man.
Yeah, if there's any ladies with one leg in Walford, he would snap them up.
So, say, for instance, Big Mo, Maureen, say she had an accident, she was out in the square selling pegs, and Charlie ran her over in his minicab, she lost one of her legs, she gets back in the square with it, she's one leg down, and Paul McCartney goes, "Hello."
Hang on, we're talking about the Beatles from the 60s, aren't we? We're not talking about present-day Beatles.
Oh, in that case, no, he wouldn't fancy... is there anybody in EastEnders who looks like Jane Asher?
I was thinking the closest you'll get to that period of Dolly Bird is probably Ronnie.
Ronnie, yeah. Well, yeah, Ronnie Mitchell looks a little bit like Linda McCartney, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the sausages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would work. And I don't know what business McCartney would go into.
Probably washing machine repair.
Yeah, possibly. I reckon he'd be a vendor of washing machines. He's more up there with the proper businessman.
Right, whereas John Lennon would probably have a van, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd be a man with a van.
He'd be a man with a van. So, yeah, say Dot needed something shifting, such as Jim shit.
Jesus.
You know, she'd ring John Lennon up. Hello, I need my husband's, shifting. And he'd go, yeah, I'll be around there in a minute in my van. I can't do the Beatles.
I thought that was quite good, but this was your idea.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. Well, right, instead of that, what happens if it's Jeff Lynne out of ELO? I can do him.
I don't really know ELO. We could do Slade.
Slade'll do, yeah. Right, hang on a minute. Right, so she rings up Noddy Holder, and she says, hello,
You can't really do Dot either, can you?
Yeah, no, I need to get rid of this shit. And Noddy says, you're right, I'll be round in a minute in me van. I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be
So now we move on to our favourite EastEnders characters. I'm a bit hot, actually.
You're a bit hot? That's because you're overweight.
I'm not overweight, actually. I'm losing
you
weight.
Are. No, how much do you weigh?
I'm not sure.
Right. Do you weigh more than me?
I think I weigh about 14 stone.
Right, 14 stone. Well, I'm 6 foot tall and I weigh 13 and a half stone. You're smaller than me. And you weigh more than me, which means...
I'm not that much smaller than you. I'm 5 foot, just off 5 foot 11.
Right, you're 5 foot 11 inches tall, but you're 14 stone, which means you're clinically obese.
That's not technically obese, though, is it?
Yeah, it is. That is technically obese. It means you're clinically obese.
You're clinically obese.
Because you're a pudding of a man. You're a small pudding of a man, and you're overweight, so you're clinically obese.
Yeah, but if you look at me, I'm in proportion, and you look physically deformed.
I don't look physically deformed. You know, the point being is, the only reason you look relatively normal is you're practically breaking your spine holding in your belly. You must go home at night in agony, stomach cramps.
But you look completely normal until you get to your gut, which is like a huge paunch. It's almost like a sack of fluid.
Yes, but at least my gut, for any ladies listening, is covered in a thick carpet of hair.
Sorry, I had a mouthful of tea there.
All right, I do apologise. Anyway, look, this is personal. We shouldn't get personal.
We shouldn't. You we fat should bastard. Really. We should talk about our three favourite EastEnders.
You're
characters.
You're a fat bastard.
Don't get personal. Three favourite EastEnders characters.
Right. Okay. Well, do you want me to go first, or are you going to go first for a bloody change?
I can go first if you want.
Right. Okay. Okay.
I've got my list here.
Right.
I've written a list.
Right. Who's your first one?
First one is Darren Millar.
It's like being on the radio, this.
It is a bit, isn't it? Right, Darren Millar. Here we go. We've watched Darren Millar grow from a cocky wee lad to a cocky wee man. In fact, in the 10-odd years he's graced our screens, he's only really changed in terms of his height. As Wolford's number one car salesman and long-suffering boyfriend of Squiggle, we salute you, Darren, last of the Millar clan.
That's beautiful. That was very well read out.
Thank you.
Did you write that?
I did write that just now on the toilet, actually, while I was having a poo.
Well, there we go. I think that's probably the best place to write anything. You've thrown me there.
Is it your go?
My first one is Frank Butcher from the old days. Good old Frank Butcher.
A predictable choice, but go on.
Well, I've written Yellow Grass... Oh, shit. I've written... You see, you read yours out very eloquently, whereas me, I'm reading mine out like a drunk.
Yeah.
Right, I'll try again. Yellow glasses, bald head, Pringle jumpers, second-hand cars, need I say more?
That's good.
Thank you very much, Frank Butcher. Again, we salute you.
Well, you have to salute Frank Butcher. Probably the best character the Square's ever seen.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. The moment Frank came on the screen, you just know, here we go, this is it, it's more like it.
Yeah.
Frank's back.
Daddy, we're home.
Yeah, exactly. A bit, I'll tell you what, very similar to when you're watching Heidi High, the moment Ted Bovis walked out, you knew, here we go. We've got a safe pair of hands here.
Well, I'd say it was more revolutionary than that. It was more comedy has a new name, and its name is Paul Shane.
It's Paul Shane, or to to his millions of fans out there across the world who might not know, you know, his real name, Ted Bovis.
Yes. Shall I do my next one?
In fact, thinking about it, Ted Bovis and Frank Butcher would make excellent golfing companions.
I'd love to see a TV show about the two of them, but sadly, Mike Reed passed on, didn't he?
It is a bit of a shame. I mean, in the movie of Ted Bovis and Frank Butcher go on holiday, who would play Frank Butcher?
What, now he's passed on?
Yeah.
That's a toughie. Maybe Ben Kingsley could put on some weight.
Ben Kingsley. So Ben Kingsley plays Frank Butcher and Anthony Scher plays Ted Bovis?
Hang on, is he the... I think I know who Anthony Scher is. He's a theatrical actor, isn't he?
He's a theatrical man, yeah. Or what about Ralph Fiennes or Rafe?
What a
to the ladies.
How about, what's his name? Colin Firth.
Colin Firth, yeah, he'd work as Ted Bovis. I'll tell you what would have cheered up Schindler's List, actually, would have been Ted Bovis.
Shall I do my next one?
Yeah, you do your next one.
Well, I'm not sure. I get confused between Perry Fenwick and Billy Mitchell.
Right, well, Billy Mitchell's the character and Perry Fenwick is the man himself.
Right, I'm glad you cleared that up, because when he's on screen, if I shout at the TV, as I'm sometimes, you know, likely to do,
right,
I shout Perry instead of Billy. And I've got the two confused in my mind. It's almost like he's a friend of mine. Do you know what I mean?
Right, so the bit where they're saying, Billy, do this, Billy, do that.
Yeah, my...
That hasn't crossed your mind, that his name's not Perry and he's never called Perry.
My brain processes that as Perry.
Right, okay. Well, all right, we'll run with that.
So, Perry Fenwick.
Perry Fenwick?
Perry Fenwick. A man who proved the old adage about leopards and spots to be untrue. Having bullied and beaten young Jamie Mitchell whilst living in alcoholic squalor, Billy lifted himself back into the bosom of the Queen Vic, capturing Honey's heart by dint of the fact she had learning difficulties. He's now foster father to the boy thug Jay, who now looks older than him.
And he is, of course, the luckiest man in the world.
Yeah, good fortune smiles on Perry Fenwick.
It's certainly all Billy Mitchell, as he's more commonly known. I mean, I've always thought, if, say, Billy was walking down a street,
yeah.
What would first happen to him is he'd slip on a dog shit, he'd land on his arse, break his spine, but then, you know, just as he's lying back in agony, a lottery ticket, a winning lottery ticket, would land on his cheek, and he'd think, finally, I've got a bit of luck, and then you get hit by a lorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the unluckiest bloody character I think EastEnders has ever had.
You should write for EastEnders with ideas like that.
Well, that to be fair, that was made up on the spot. That wasn't a brilliant idea, but it just goes to show the luck of Billy Mitchell. Because you think it's all starting to go all right for him, don't you? So, for instance, like you say, when he married the mentally retarded Honey,
yeah,
you know, you thought, well, finally, something's going Billy's way, because she's not a bad looker.
She was a very pretty lady, and I think mentally retarded, you're not allowed to use that terminology anymore, are you? I think...
Why? What's wrong with that? Right, anyway, so when he married her... Mm. Yeah, you thought, finally, it's all going Billy's way. Then he ends up with a Down syndrome kid. Nothing wrong with that, but they are difficult to look after.
And there's the worry of the birth as well, because...
The worry, the whole thing, yeah. And, you know, I mean, they're very dependent, etc.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that comes in his lap. Then his wife leaves him, and it all goes to shit again.
I think they almost got evicted. Well, I think they did get evicted before his wife
left. They did
get
evicted. Do you remember it was Christmas Day,
yeah,
and Billy and Honey and the two kids were out on the street, and Phil took pity on them. Phil, his family member, took pity on them, seeing as they're in the street with all their stuff on Christmas Day, and let them in.
That was nice of him, his own cousin.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, your own flesh and blood. Oh, it appears Billy and... I mean, he had actually asked him for help beforehand, and Phil had told him to sod off, and it got to the stage where they were homeless in the street. Yeah, he really is one of the unluckiest men in the world, poor old Billy. But like you say, it is all off the back of the fact that when he came into the show, he was a shitbag.
Yeah, so he gets his just desserts, really.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a lot of desserts.
Yeah, he'll be full by the end of it. Who's your next choice?
Right, my next one is good old Arthur Fowler.
Ah, the flowering wilderness.
Exactly, yeah. Shall I say what I've written here?
Please do.
Right, it says, Christmas money-thieving optimist married to miserable old radish.
Is that all you've written?
Hang on. It's over the other side of the page. He tended the square's garden, stole the Christmas money, went mad, went to prison, got accused of stealing more Christmas money, went to prison again, dead, the end.
Yeah, now, when you put it like that, it is quite a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
Well, it is, because, I mean, Arthur was you know, he was one of the main characters of EastEnders, wasn't he? He was in it for years. And, yeah, they had that bit where he stole the Christmas money, he went mad, he ended up in prison, his daughter had a baby by that bastard Den Watts. All that malarkey, yeah? Yeah. But then to finish off his character by him then being accused of stealing even more Christmas money and ended up in prison, then having an heart attack, that was quite a sad way for Arthur to go out, to be honest with you.
You're overlooking the fact that he had an affair, but married to Pauline Fowler, who wouldn't?
I'd have an affair if I was married to Pauline Fowler, yeah.
What's his real name? Bill Treadmill?
Bill Treadmill, or is it Bill Turnbull?
No, he's on The Breakfast.
All right. Well, anyway, if I'd have had my way, do you know how I'd have had Arthur go out?
How?
With a lovely monkey.
Right.
Yeah, Arthur gets a lovely monkey. So he's there in his house, and somebody comes like, "Look, Arthur, I've got you one of these monkeys from the adverts, one in the bowler hat that moves the piano."
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
And Arthur says, "Oh, thanks, that's ever so nice." And he gets in his car with his lovely monkey and a flask of tea, and he drives off. And they play the goodbye character EastEnders music.
Oh, yeah, I know, the piano ballad.
Yeah, clang, dang, clang, 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 clang. Anyone can fall in love. That one. And Arthur's off in the distance with his lovely monkey.
It's nice, that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be better than dying of an heart attack after being accused of stealing the Christmas money?
I'd take driving off into the sunset with a lovely monkey over dying in prison or of a heart attack or whatever any day of the week. Shall I move on?
Yeah, what you don't realise is he has sex with that monkey.
Phil Mitchell.
Hey, good old Phil Mitchell. He's like a beetroot in human form.
He is. I've written here... The King, the Don, the Alpha Male of Albert Square. Enough said.
The Daddy. Is that it?
Yeah, you ruined the end of it.
So do you want to say it again?
All right. The King, the Don, the Alpha Male of Albert Square.
The Daddy.
Enough said.
Enough said. The Daddy.
You spoiled it again.
I mean,
there.
Admittedly, well, we get the general idea. He's the Daddy.
Yeah, he's the Don.
Yeah, I like the fact he goes red. And I liked all that stuff when he was drunk. Mm. That was good.
He's a brilliant drunk, actually, isn't he?
He is. He's great, even though he's not very good at it. He plays a drunk how you would expect somebody to play a drunk in a school play?
No, I'd say he's quite a realistic drunk.
Do you?
Yeah, I'd say so. That bit when he was on the old PlayStation 3 was quite superb, I thought.
Actually, yeah, that was good. As highlighted by you on watchwithmothers.net.
Oh, it's a good site.
That is a good sight, yeah. But, yeah, anybody, you actually captured the whole thing of him doing that, didn't you, of playing on the PlayStation blind drunk?
Yeah, through the...
Which admittedly was brilliant, and he was the colour of a flamingo, which I was amazed how he managed to get that colour.
I don't think it takes much, to be honest.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're only acting, I mean, you've got a hats off to Steve McFadden, Britain's most famous dogger.
Yeah, I was going to say we probably shouldn't delve into the News of the World territory.
Yeah, well, it's there on record. There's film evidence. He wears a wig. He goes around in a camper van wearing a wig, watching other people having sex in car parks.
There's nothing wrong with that, really, is there?
Well, no, I mean, it's a hobby.
No one's getting hurt.
No, exactly. But anyway... You've got to take your hat off, and I don't know why he's not won awards for this, such as BAFTAs is, or something. Why has he not won an award for his ability to turn the same colour as a flamingo at will?
Well, they should make a special award for that.
Yeah, the McFadden Flamingo Award, awarded every year to Steve McFadden for his services to turning bright pink.
I'm tempted to put together a Watch With Mothers award ceremony just for that reason there.
Well, I think we should do, to be honest, because there's a lot of television awards that aren't out there, such as the Russ Abbott Hilarious Laughter Award.
Yeah. Who's your final one, then?
Right. Pete Beale.
Oh, Pete Potato.
I nearly said Pete Best.
You did. So, Pete Potato.
Right, yeah, Pete Potato. Right, I've written here. All right, Tweakle.
That's all you need to write, isn't it?
Yeah, all right, Tweakle. The one thing that annoys me most about Pete Beale is they killed him off when he was off screen.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
And for that, I will never forgive the writers of EastEnders. God damn you. The poor man ended up doing, what was that show, that betting show on Channel 4, Bonsai or something?
Was he on that, was he?
Yeah, he was there measuring snooker balls in his underpants.
I saw Normski on that, flapping his cock from side to side. Did you see that?
Yeah. Was he in his underpants?
No, he had his cock out and he was waggling it from thigh to thigh.
I mean, this is the sad demise of so many television stars.
Hello, I'm unpleasant African dictator Idi Amin. I'm just here to say, this is a What's With Mothers Who podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's head. Goodbye.
Right, obviously, that might be judged to be a bit sexist because we didn't cover any female favourites, but rest assured we do have female favourites, and they're going to come up in a song that we're going to play you now.
It's Ladies' Day in Albert Square, and all the ladies will be there. There's Sharon Watts and Angie too, Peggy Mitchell going to the loo. There's Jane from the cafe washing dishes. Roxy's tits, they're jubblicious. Here comes Stacey, mad as a hatter, and a cousin cat looking fatter. There's Kathy Beale with sex appeal, Pauline Fowler in her kegs. There's Fat Bat Butcher having sex with Dorothy Branning in one of Jim's best. So it's Ladies' Day in Albert Square, and all the ladies will be there. Ruth and Denise and Sonia and Sue, loudmouth the anchor needing a poo. A part of East London's got it made. For tonight it's the EastEnders Ladies' Parade.
I think that was possibly the longest recording we've ever done, so it's going to be an editing nightmare for me.
Fly me to the moon and let me... Do I sound like Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, a little bit, like a sort of northern version of Frank Sinatra who can't sing.
Fly me to your boobs. That's the sort of thing you'd start singing if you were outside a spa, pissed at about 11:30, and you saw a lady coming past you. Fly me to your boobs. Have you got any matches?
We say it's like the sort of thing you would sing. I think you're speaking for yourself there, because that wouldn't happen to me.
What, you'd never sing Fly Me To Your Boobs and then ask for a box of matches?
Outside a spa at night?
Yeah.
No, there's no spas in Hackney.
Well, you've got no spas?
No, we've got Best Inns.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Is that a bit like Cost Cutters?
It's exactly like Cost Cutters, yeah.
Oh, right. I mean, can you get Bernard Matthews Chicken Kiev's there?
You can if you go to the one on the Greenwood Road.
Right, I don't know what that means, but I am glad you've got access to Bernard Matthews Chicken Kebab. Not Chicken Kebabs, Chicken Kiev's.
Me too, I'm very happy about that. We should probably wrap up, Napoleon.
Right, yeah, well, I've enjoyed that. It wasn't very good, but I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think what's most important about these podcasts is that you and I enjoy them, and the listeners, well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I literally am not interested. If you're now sat there at home, and now I'm speaking directly to you in your ears, if you're now sat there at home fuming, thinking, God, that was bloody awful, I don't care, because we're not doing it for you.
Well, the thing is, if they're sat there now, by this point, which is presumably by the length of how long we've been talking, is going to be about 3 hours in.
Yeah, it's not such as Greg Hard sat there with his arms crossed. I told you, shit.
Yes, it's not like they're going to be sitting there just so they get value for money, because they've not given any money out, so...
No, exactly. No refunds available here.
They must just be masochists. But anyway, if you did enjoy it, we're glad.
I'm not.
So, all that remains is to say goodbye. So, goodbye, Napoleon.
See ya.
See you then, bye.
So he caught me unawares. Bye.
Watch with mothers.